This morning, we conclude our series on I Will. As we've been taking a look at our new church covenant that we're going to vote on today, we've been looking at all the statements of this church covenant and see how these are things that God would have us to do as Christians and as church members. And the number 8th statement, the last one we're addressing, is I will have an attitude of humility and unity towards the church, and will support my fellow church members and the leadership. Unity. Let's take a look at why it's so important for a church. On September 11th, 2001, the passengers of United Flight 93 suddenly found themselves as prisoners of hijackers. As the passengers, through phone calls, realized what had happened to the other three passenger airlines, they realized that their airplane was intended to take out another target. The White House? The Capitol building? They weren't sure. But suddenly they realized that it was not just their lives at stake, but the lives of possibly thousands of others. What the passengers and crew did next was nothing less than heroic. They made a plan. A plan to face down and confront the evil that was manifested in the form of those hijackers. They pulled together. They made a plan to overtake the hijackers and take over the cockpit, even if it meant losing their own lives. They huddled together on the back of the plane. They got behind a beverage cart. One of the gentlemen had his phone on as they made their move. His wife on the ground heard him say, "Let's roll." "Let's roll" was the phrase that signaled the beginning of that final courageous act. Travelers from different backgrounds, races, and age groups set aside their differences and bonded together for a common mission. United by their urgent goal, they selflessly disregarded personal safety to work as one, to become heroes. What if the church operated with such courage and resolve? No, we don't always agree, but we can set aside our differences, sacrifice our personal comfort, and work together to fulfill our call. Paul talks about this as he writes to the church of Ephesus. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." The first thing we see here is we can be united as prisoners. The passengers on the United 93 flight were prisoners of the hijackers. They didn't want to be there, but circumstances made them so. Paul calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. Paul willingly put himself under the lordship of the Lord's will. He became a prisoner of the Lord's will. He submitted. There's that word again. Submit. To be a Christian is to submit to the will of the Father, to become a prisoner of the Lord. Now, we don't like the word prison or prisoner, but my friends, I would much rather be a prisoner of the Lord than a prisoner of my sin. My friends, we're all going to be prisoner of something. We'll either be a prisoner of our Savior or a prisoner of our sin. And believe me, God's house is much better than anything that sin has to offer. But because we realize that we're prisoners of the Lord, it changes how we interact with one another. Paul gives us 4 ways we can be unified as fellow prisoners. First, with humility. Humility is to put others before yourself. It's to choose to value others above yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that they are better than yourself, but you behave as if they are. Jesus did this when he came to the earth. He left all of heaven and came to serve us. He humbled himself. He valued us so much that he's willing to leave all the heavens, all the praise. He was willing to leave the right-hand side of God the Father and come and be spit on. Be tortured, come to be falsely accused, come to be killed for our sins. Why? He was valuing us. above his own comfort and what he desired. Church would be a different place if we all acted with humility. Humility allows us to give up our seat for a visitor. Humility allows us to relinquish our hold on what we think worship should be so others might be reached and related to. Humility allows us to sit under the teaching of another in Bible study class, even though we might be able to teach it better or with a different style. Humility allows us to serve the children, even though we don't have any children in the children's department. It allows us to seek forgiveness, even when we didn't throw the first punch. Humility allows us to serve with others on committees and in ministries, even when they might get on our nerves sometimes. Humility allows us to change the way things have been, so we can reach a new generation. For us to have unity, we as church members must exhibit humility. Paul also says that we should act with gentleness. Gentleness is linked with humility. Being gentle is not the same as being a doormat. It isn't being weak or cowardly. Rather, it involves showing kindness. It means being considerate of others. Those that are gentle may have the ability to grasp power or get their own way, but decide not to. Jesus showed gentleness by welcoming the little children that wanted to be near him. He was gentle when he offered encouragement rather than condemnation to the woman caught in adultery. And he offered gentleness when he hung on the cross, forgiving those who were crucifying him, instead of hitting them with a bolt of lightning, which is what I would have done. We show gentleness when we insist, when we, instead of pushing our weight around at church, let somebody else step up and serve their voice and their opinions. Gentleness at church is setting aside your own personal preferences for the good of someone who may be new or those we're trying to reach. Paul also says we can be unified by practicing patience. Patience carries the idea of putting up with each other's faults and failures and not seeking revenge when wronged, which goes hand in hand. Fourthly, he says we can be unified by accepting one another in love. It is the willingness to forgive and not bear a grudge. It's the Christ-like attitude of, I see your imperfections, but I love you anyway. I forgive you because God forgave me. You don't have to be around any church that long to realize you need lots and lots of patience. Because we're all sinners. We're all struggling in our walk with the Lord. But for us to be unified, that's a character trait that must be exercised, used, stretched, and challenged. To be more patient is to be more like Christ. Verse 3 tells us we can be united through the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's work. The passengers of United 93 didn't have an easy task ahead of them, but they were plugged into something that motivated them to act. They were motivated by their concerns for others, motivated by what is right, motivated by saving the lives of countless others on the ground. That is a powerful source of motivation. We as Christians need to be plugged into something that will give us the power to create unity. But unity is hard in the church. Some of you are stubborn. Some of you are set in your ways. Some of you are unforgiving. Some of you have wrong motives. Some of you come to church for selfish reasons. Some of you don't like some of the others of you. Some of you are flawed. Some of you are dealing with sin. Some of you are battling demons within you. Some of you got your values and what's important all mixed up. How do I know that? Because I'm guilty of all those things at times as well. The church is filled with fallen and broken and sinful and selfish people. And that makes it difficult. Paul even says it'll be difficult. He uses the words, diligently keeping unity. We have to be diligent. We have to work at it. Paul's words convey the necessity of striving with determination to overcome obstacles for the sake of unity. And we need the power of God's Spirit living within us to enable us to consistently respond to others with gentleness and humility. The Spirit helps us bear with one another's faults and forgive when we're wronged. The Spirit is the one who gives us the power to keep unity in the church. I found that someone is usually in conflict with lots of people. Something's wrong with their relationship with God. They're not tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't find the power to do those things on our own. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit. So if our relationship with Jesus is not strong, we're not walking in the Holy Spirit. If we have sin in our lives, it makes it hard for the Holy Spirit to work in us. We're going to find ourselves not being humble or patient or not showing forgiveness, not showing selfishness, selflessness, and it causes conflict. When we're plugged in with the Holy Spirit, when we're growing in our relationship with Jesus, when we're in His Word and daily fellowship with our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit empowers us to show patience, to show humility, to show kindness and gentleness. We can't shine the light of Christ or the light of humility or kindness or gentleness or patience or forgiveness if we're not plugged in. So everyone, plug in. Verse 4 through 6 tells us that we can be united through the oneness of God. If the passengers on United 93 could not have been united, they would have failed. If they couldn't agree whether to attack or to negotiate, they would have failed. If they could not decide to use a drink card or their food trays, they would have failed. If they couldn't agree on when to strike, and they would have failed. The passengers on United 93 succeeded because they were one. We have a reason to be united as well. Why? Because when we're united, we reflect the oneness of God. It brings God glory. We've been designed to live the Christian life in connection with the body of Christ. In this passage, Paul uses the word one 7 times to explain the different elements that tie us together as a church. Though made up of individuals, Christians, the church exists as one body, the church. Within the church, you'll find people of all races, classes, ages. We are completely diverse, but one Spirit indwells us all. We are the one body of Christ because the one Spirit dwells in us all. The Spirit in us is our guarantee of the one hope we share. Our common hope as Christians is the hope of eternity spent with Him. Christians are bound together by one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're united through our common belief that Jesus alone is our Savior. We proclaim this belief publicly through the symbol of baptism. Baptism has 2 functions. It proclaims to the world that Jesus is Lord of our lives. And second, it binds us in unity to His church. All Christians worship one God who is creator, sustainer of the universe. The oneness of God is the foundation of our unity in the church. When we show unity as a church, God is glorified. What can you do to show unity? First, pray for one another. You can't be mad at somebody that you're praying for. 2, don't participate in gossip. Somebody comes to you and says, "Do you know what this person did? Or do you know what the pastor did?" Stop them right there. And you need to ask them this question. Have you talked to this person about this? Have you talked to them? And if not, say, "I don't want to hear it." You need to go speak to them. If we all did that, gossip would not exist in the church. 3, forgive. We've all been wronged. Identify any grudges that you have against someone in this room and forgive them. Unforgiveness not only destroys unity, but it hurts you way more than it hurts anybody else. Unforgiveness is like a cancer that eats away who you are. Next, seek forgiveness. Who have you wronged? Seek them out. Confess what you did is wrong and seek their forgiveness. And 5, practice humility. Practice humility towards one another. Whenever you see disunity coming or you feel yourself upset about something, ask yourself this question. Am I getting upset because I'm not getting what I want? Ask, what is best for the kingdom of God, not me personally? Am I mistaking a preference for a necessity? The passengers on Flight 93 lost their lives, but they were heroes. They saved the lives of countless others. They were selfless in their actions and united in their cause. My friends, the stakes we face are higher than what they faced on United 93. We're all passengers here on United Flight Flint Hill. Our neighbors around us are facing a terror worse than anything that could be found on 9/11. They're facing an eternity separated from God. The stakes are very high, and God calls us to give up our lives for Him and for them. This is what it means to be a Christian, to die to ourselves so we might live for Him and His purpose. We have a choice. We can bicker amongst ourselves. We can battle for our personal preferences. We can fight for how we want things to be done. Or we can just sit there in our pew and not get involved, saying, you know, it's not my job. Somebody else can do it. I'm just here for the in-flight movie. And the world around us will die and go straight to hell. Or we can unite as a church family. We can be about the supreme task of sharing the gospel with our community, our state, and our world. We can unite and be world changers. We can point people to Christ. We can rescue them from death and bring them to life. When we do, people's lives will be transformed, people will be saved, and most importantly, God will be glorified. My challenge to you is the same challenge as it was for those fellow passengers on United 93. I'm looking you in the eye as both you and I face evil and Satan himself, and I say to you, let's roll.